Yes! Come in! Come in! Come in!
The voice came inside the office. Stepping in, closing the door behind me, I saw the general standing behind an ornate wooden desk. His back was turned from me, and he faced a large map on the wall with his hands folded behind his back at parade rest.
Sorry to have kept you waiting.
Then, before I could speak, his hands unfolded. One of them snapped out and tapped a finger soundly on the map.
There, sir. There lies the future of this nation, our destiny, if you will.
He stood tall, thin, and broad-shouldered, his dark blue tunic tailored to fit like a layer of skin. His long hair shimmered with dressing oil and lay covering his collar line. I shot a quick glance around the small office, taking note of a human skull with a large rock embedded in it. It sat on a stack of papers facing me on top of the desk. I made up my mind to be straight to the point with him and tolerate none of the guff I figured was coming. General Custer, I'm Mr. Bates.
Yes, indeed you are, and it is my pleasure meeting you, sir.
He swung around, throwing his hands behind his back once more and stepping around the desk toward me with the sharp grace and motion of a mountain cat.
Mistress Custer tells me you've already spoken with her in my absence, and she is quite taken with you, sir.
Well,
Sit down, sir. Come now. Please, have a seat.
His hands clasped around a box of cigars and flipped it open.
Have a cigar!
We'd shaken hands before I realized it, and now I was seated in a wooden high-backed chair holding a thick cigar before I'd managed to say a word. General Custer lit my cigar, then stepped back, looking down, taking note of my doe-skin shirt and the top hat in my hand. He spread his arms.
My, but haven't you become the essence of the noble plainsman?
Well, I am a little scarce of clothes right now.
I drew on the cigar, laid the top hat on the floor beside my chair, and sat holding Brazelton's notepad on my lap.
Traveling light, eh? Yeah, well, that is the only way to travel, to my thinking. You're dressed rugged, yet stylish in a rakish sort of way, if you don't mind my saying. I find that a man who doesn't dress sharp usually isn't very sharp. Now, wouldn't you agree, Hank? I hope I may call you Hank.
I ran a hand down the front of my shirt.
I ain't really put a lot of thought in it, but, General, my name's not Hank.
I pointed the cigar at him for emphasis.
You ain't putting a lot of... Oh, my. We're gonna get along fine, I can already tell.
He spun on his boot heels, threw his hands back behind his back, and circled around his desk. It was obvious the general had no idea in the world who I was, and as I glanced down at the battered notebook in my hand, it dawned on me he thought I was Henry Brazelton.
Now then, where to start?
He dropped down in his chair before I could say a word and brushed his palms across the top of his desk as if clearing away all other business.
Oh, I know.
Custer reached out and tapped the human skull paperweight on the desk.
I'm sure you're curious about this tough-looking fellow.
General, I better tell you...
Well, this happens to be the skull of some ancient fallen warrior found on excavation in a remote South American jungle. And I don't mind telling you how delighted I was to receive it as a gift from my very dear friend...
General, hold it! Do you think I came here to write about you?
Well, I'm sure you want to get the whole picture. The men, the Indians, the land. You've already spoke to some of the wives, of course, but...
General, I'm not Henry Brazelton. I'm Beatty. James Beatty? I'm here about the horse. The horse?
He sat staring at me for a second with a bemused expression, then squinted his eyes shut and shook his head.
Oh, Beatty. About the horse?
Right.
He stood up, reached across the desk, snatched up the skull paperweight, put it in a drawer, then straightened his tunic as he walked around the desk.
Right indeed.
His voice had gone lower now, no longer the snappy voice of an energetic officer out to impress a news reporter. No, now he was a man whose wife had bought a horse without his say-so, and sitting before him was the man responsible for his apparent displeasure.
Beatty...
He stopped beside my chair and looked down at me from beneath a narrowed brow.
Yes, Beatty.
I nodded and puffed the cigar. He snatched the lit cigar out of my mouth, walked back around his desk, and dropped it into a brass cuspidor.
Who let you in here, Beatty?
I just looked at him, wondering what the army would do to me for hanging a chair over his head right there in his office.
And just what kind of man sells a woman a horse without her husband's permission to begin with, Beatty?
He'd been rambling on and on about what evil snakes horse traders were, even found a way to make a horse trader responsible for Napoleon's defeat at Waterloo. Only when his fist came down on his desk did I lean forward in my chair.
General, believe me, had I known it was going to cause this much trouble, I never would have sold her the horse.
Oh, do you expect me to believe that? From a man who impersonates a reporter just to weasel his way into my office? I believe you'd do anything to make a sale, Beatty, regardless of the problems it caused.
I shook my head. There was no point in trying to explain that even if he paid me for the horse, I'd be losing money, considering all I'd gone through.
As far as selling Honest Bob, let's just forget the whole thing. I'll gladly release you and your wife from the deal.
Release us? Oh, well, that implies that we've somehow failed to uphold our end of an agreement.
No, sir. It just means there's been a misunderstanding, and I'm trying my best to make things right. I said to begin with that it would be a mistake to buy Honest Bob.
Honest Bob? My goodness, man, have you no shame? Palming that beast off on an unsuspecting female. I checked that horse over this morning. He actually ripped down every board in his stall and ate his water bucket.
I understand. So let's just call it quits, General.
Oh, quits, I'll say. Although that certainly lets you off the hook and leaves me with a problem. My wife is terribly upset at my stepping in and taking over, ruining her surprise. Now, you think you'll simply ride off into the sunset, no loss, no gain, while I have to put up with all
the... Damn it, General! She only did it thinking it would please you. Can't you see that? Don't you see how she feels?
His face went flush of all color. He rose from his chair rigidly and slowly, his knuckles white gripping the chair arms.
How dare you to presume to have any idea of my wife's feelings, sir?
Easy, General.
If I weren't in the uniform of my country, I would trounce you within an inch of your miserable life.